You're listening to another exclusive podcast from Pituitary World News. It's always exciting to talk about new drugs, and today, Dr. Blevins introduces a new drug for Cushing's disease.
Good evening. This is Dr. Louis Blevins of Pituitary World News, podcasting from Sausalito, California. This evening, I want to introduce a new drug to you. The drug is known as Isturisa, and it's made by Recordati, a pharmaceutical company that I believe is based in Italy. And it's approved by the FDA for the management of Cushing's disease. In case you want to look this up online, I'll spell it for you. It's Isturisa, and it has a generic name of Osilodrostat. Now, as most of you know, the medical management of Cushing's disease is rather complex. It's evolved over time. It's changed since I first started practicing endocrinology. The drug landscape has changed. We have therapies that are directed against the pituitary gland, against the adrenal glands, and against the glucocorticoid receptor. This is a drug that's actually directed against the adrenal glands. It is known as an 11-beta-hydroxylase inhibitor. 11-beta-hydroxylase is one of the many enzymes involved in the synthesis of cortisol from cholesterol in the adrenal gland. It's also involved in aldosterone synthesis. So the new drug actually blocks the activity of this enzyme and controls cortisol levels by lowering them. Now, there have been a lot of reports on this drug. You'll find those if you look at it. A couple studies, phase one and two studies, phase three studies. There was a phase three study published about a year ago that was a multi-center double-blind study and involved people going on medicine, coming off medicine, etc. I won't bore you with the details. But they started with 137 adults with Cushing's disease, and they had to have a mean urine cortisol at least greater than 1.5 times the upper limit of normal. In the study, they found that the median cortisol levels were 3.5 times upper limit of normal. So they had some patients with fairly significant disease and others with mild disease in this particular study. And the study was designed to look at the efficacy or the clinical effect of the drug and also the tolerability. It's a complex study design, and there were a number of different pieces of information gleaned from this particular study. I think the important ones for those of you who are patients or related to patients or maybe providers of patients are related to the efficacy of the drug. So that by week 34 of the study, 86% of patients had a normal urine cortisol. Again, I talked about the complex study design and other things were done. There was a placebo group, and in comparison, 29% of patients with placebo had normal urine cortisols. Now, these patients, it's not clear to me, some of them may have actually been treated with radiotherapy and were normal because of that, but I can't tell looking at the abstract of the study that I reviewed. We do know that 11% of patients discontinued the drug due to adverse events, and some of those included nausea, headache, and fatigue. About 43% of patients developed adrenal insufficiency, so the drug dose had to be reduced because there was an overshoot, if you will. Obviously, the drug works, and if you give too much, you're going to have to lower the dosage. So if you count of all the patients who entered the study and look at those who either didn't complete it, didn't stay in the study or whatever, overall, at week 48 of the study, so almost a year, two-thirds of patients had a normal urine-free cortisol. That's pretty good numbers. That's an excellent number for a new drug that's approved by the FDA to manage Cushing's disease. This is an oral drug. I think it's taken twice daily. It's really, in my opinion, the first adrenal biosynthesis inhibitor that hits the market that's actually FDA approved for the management of hypercortisolism of Cushing's disease. At the present time and heretofore, ketoconazole has been the workhorse in this arena, but many of you may know the efficacy is probably not as strong, pretty comparable though. The problem is that about 15% of patients develop abnormal liver functions, and the FDA has put a black box warning on this particular drug, ketoconazole having been approved for fungal infections and never approved for the use of Cushing's, but is used because we know it blocks adrenal biosynthesis. But this new drug is approved by the FDA for the management of Cushing's disease, and it's the only one to date that interrupts adrenal function that's approved by the FDA for this particular indication. So I think it's going to be a workhorse in our management of patients with hypercortisolism due to Cushing's disease. I think it's a drug that I see being employed in patients who have severe disease and need to have improvement in their overall clinical situation before they're taken to surgery. It's a drug that I think will have a role in the management of patients who have residual disease after surgery while they're waiting for the beneficial effects of radiotherapy, or in decision making to determine whether or not they should have an additional surgical procedure to treat their hypercortisolism. And it may also be used in other settings as well, depending on FDA approval and results of post-marketing studies that evaluate the efficacy in other situations. But right now, I believe the indication states that it's approved for Cushing's disease. And I'm glad that we have a drug such as this to use in our armamentarium of patients who have often difficult to control hypercortisolism. So once again, this is Dr. Lewis Blevins of Pituitary World News, podcasting from Sausalito, California. As usual, please give us your feedback, send us questions, comments, concerns, whatever, and we'll try to do our best to address them. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. Thanks very much.
You have been listening to another exclusive podcast from Pituitary World News. This is Jorge Fascinetti. Thank you for listening.